love that. I asked her before service, I said, okay, what are you singing? Which I, you know, it's like, just trust, she's going to come. And her songs that she had chosen are just absolutely perfect, aren't they? Wait till you hear the last one. So the talk title I have today, and first before I even say what the talk title, I just want to thank you for being here. This is big. It's really important that with whatever is going out there in the world, that we have a grounding place to come, and that we have courage to come to listen to something else besides what we might be listening to out there. So bless your hearts. This is a time to come and be strengthened and to hear something that will serve us when we do go out there. So my talk title today is The Highest Good for All. And of course, these talk titles were written a long time ago, and I thought, highest good for all. Wow, that's interesting, isn't it, with what's going on today. So what is the highest good for all? And I have to tell you, I have pages and pages that I've been writing this morning and yesterday. And all of a sudden, I love how Spirit works. And Spirit reminded me this morning, and I'm going to remind you, can you remember how often it used to be that we would hear of a child being abducted? And we would say, oh, isn't that awful? And there wasn't much we felt we could do. But then the Class family, Polly Class, came, and her family made a difference. And now we have the Polly Class Foundation. And from that change, it was painful, but change came. And then we had Amber, who was also, and now we have an Amber Alert. So we are notified instantly when a child has been taken. I don't know about you, but there's hope in that. And then I can remember when I used to be in a grocery store and children would scream out in pain, and I could remember parents abusing their children in grocery stores. Anybody else remember? And we'd kind of look the other way. That doesn't happen today. Today, if we hear a child yelling out in the grocery store, we all look and we come to the aid either of the parent or the child because we want to make sure the child is being treated with loving kindness. Do you remember that? I do. I can remember when I used to drive drunk and thinking nothing of it, just really glad I made it home safe. I can remember people being killed numerously by drunk drivers. And we'd say, oh, he was just drunk or she was just drunk. I have friends who are still working on their own personal forgiveness for people they killed driving drunk. But what it finally took was Mothers Against Drunk Drivers to change our way that we looked at that and how we handle the problem. And yeah, they stood up and they kept going after it and they kept asking for the laws to be changed because their hearts hurt. But because their hearts hurt, they made a difference. And now we have road signs that say, if you see someone driving drunk, please call 911. Those kind of things made a difference. Those changes in how we believe and how we see each other has asked all of us to step up because this is who we are. And we choose the highest good for all. And we have to choose over and over and over again as being part of the solution. The Course in Miracles says, teach only love because love is who you are. So today, I will teach only love. And I think all of you got the quote from Alan Cohen on my midweek. If you didn't, here it is. In the American Native American tradition, one member of the tribe assumes the role of faith keeper. This person's role is to remain at peace, centered in spiritual vision, no matter what events befall the tribe. Even if everybody else in the tribe slips into pain, in fear, or dissension, the faith keeper is the one person that in the tribe that the tribe can rely on as a lifeline to the presence. This is our role now. This is who we are. There is a place within all of us that is always connected to the higher being. This is the place to go to now. Your greatest contribution is your clarity, your sense of purpose and vision. See, today we are each being asked to be part of the solution for something, against nothing. And questions arise in all of us. Where can I serve? How can I make a difference? How do I stay lifted up so I can be part of the solution? Number one, I believe we've got to keep coming to a community like this so we can be buoyed up and remember that no matter who won this election, here's the truth, no matter who won this election or who you were for, this election opened a boil, a sore spot in this country. It's been alive and around for a long time. No matter who won, we would still be facing racism, homophobic, women being inferior, religious injustice, hate. Please know that. Didn't matter who won. What matters is what woke up and burst. This election brought to the surface a boil that has long been, I don't know about you, but you know, I can remember. I can remember being treated and spoken to with as a second-class citizen being a woman. I grew up in West Oakland, and in my neighborhood, there was every color. There was every race. And I saw no difference. And then I was moved at 8 years old into East Oakland, which was a totally white community. In West Oakland, everybody sat on their front porch. Grandpa John lived next door. He wasn't a relative. He was my Grandpa John because he sat on his front porch. And he'd sit there and he'd talk to me, or he'd let me talk to him for hours. I moved to East Oakland and nobody sat on a porch. Nobody opened their door. I thought I had been absolutely moved to a foreign country. You see, this election brought up our old fears, our doubts, our worries, those places where we're separate. We've all been part of that. We've seen it. We really see it now. Because it's asking to be healed. We cannot afford to be blind anymore. We cannot afford to be blind to what has existed in this country for a long time. In my early 20s, I went to Chicago, and I went to downtown Chicago, and I went to a great restaurant, and I was really excited about it, but I found out that this restaurant had just recently opened and allowed women to eat in it. I was in my 20s. Women were not even allowed to, even at that time, to have a membership in a golf course in a country club without a man. I was a young woman who at the early 20s was running her own business in Oakland, California. And the only thing that they questioned was I looked very young, but they didn't question my ability to run the business until I moved to Sonoma County, an hour and a half away. And I was treated like a second-class citizen by the men in that community. It was only an hour and a half away. But the difference was huge. And at that time, we had vigilantes in Sonoma County that if somebody looked different than them, they took them up into the hills and you never saw those people again. So this has been something that this country has had and existed. So we can't afford to be blind anymore. And we are each being called to practice what we believe and what we teach. And realize that love is more powerful than hate. Because I've watched it change. You've watched it change too. It's rare now that we hear of a child being abducted, and everybody watches out for that. Everybody looks for that. It's rare now. Yes, we still have people driving drunk or on drugs, but it's rare. And when it happens, we all hurt. Things are changing. And any sense of complacency is over. We've got to hurt if our brothers and sisters are hurting. There's a great potential and a great opportunity here for us to each stand up for what we believe. Inclusiveness, acceptance. We're being called to rise up and be lifted up, and our vision for greater possibilities in this community and from here out into the world. Opportunities to see a safe harbor for all people. Remember, life flows where your focus is. And if we keep our focus on the hate, we want to keep our focus on, yes, we're speaking up. Yes, we're saying it needs to change. And when we go out there in the world and we see somebody being mistreated, I don't know about you, but I'm willing to step up and say that's not okay. I know Jess has the name of that garb that a Muslim woman wears. What's it called? Yeah. A what? Okay. I'm going to learn how to fix one. And I'm going to wear it. And I'm going to wear it out there. And I'm going to be my loving self. Because I want to know what it feels like. I can't be black. I can't be any of the other things, but I can be that. And I can make a difference. And I will. Because we've got to act and see that this is a call for any division. It's a call for healing of the world. A world that truly works for everyone and be against nothing. No matter what we hear on the news, we blast it with love. Knowing that we're only hearing the boil, the pus that's coming out of what has left been hidden. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Right action. So the ugly boil that's been popping, give it an opportunity to heal. We got to say, thank God. It's burst open. We're all having to see it and rise up and let's check ourselves on a regular basis and be mindful. Am I adding to the world of appearances? Or am I feeding the hate and the doubt and the worry? Who am I judging? Who am I not greeting in a loving, kind way? What am I feeding? I need to ask myself that all the time. When we change our energy, we change our life. When we change how we feel, and if we see somebody that looks different, are we automatically afraid? Let's see opportunities. Let's rise above what's taking place out there and be the change we want to see. And ask the question, what's mine to do? When I asked that question, I got this picture of me putting on this headscarf and being the loving person that I am and going out there. Because I want to know what it feels like. But I also want to bless anybody that might look at me a little strange. People sometimes look at me strange anyway. bless it, bless it, bless it, bless it. Let's see the opportunities. We've been challenged by life's events. And now we can look back. We've all been challenged by different events of life, haven't we? We've dealt with difficult times in our personal lives and in the lives of our families. And at the time, we thought we weren't going to survive it. We did. But now we look back and we can even, God love us, we can even see the blessings of what that event brought to us. In the time, if anybody would have said, what are the blessings? We wouldn't have been too willing to accept it. But now, that seemed to devastate us, woke us up or gave us a better sense of loving people for every day. So today our country has awakened, uncovered the boil. I plan to stand up for equality. I plan to make a difference when I walk out there, out these doors, even by just loving people, blessing and letting people in line and holding doors open, making a difference. See, if I feel fear around me, then I want to say to the people, I don't have to say it out loud, I'm sorry you're afraid. When I wear the headdress, that's all I'll say. Mentally, I'm sorry you're afraid. May you be lifted up in this blessing that I give you. Let's align with truth. Let's heal first what we're afraid of so we can stand in loving compassion for all people. And when we can't, because I'm not saying we're going to be able to do this 24/7, when we can't, we want to say, God, I can't love whatever it is. Right now, God, love him, her, it through me. Hear that? I can't love this person right now, but God, love them through me. It's a beginning, a place that we heal ourselves of our own fears. There's also something else I can do, and that's if you are hurting because of what's going on out there, all you have to do is ask me. We've got practitioners here that you can call. Our numbers are on the bulletin. My number's on the bulletin. There isn't a practitioner in this room that wouldn't pray with you and know the truth for you if, excuse me, if you have difficulty in knowing it yourself. If you come in here on a Sunday and you don't feel totally clear, if you don't feel totally empowered in who you are, you stay. And you ask me, I'll sit with you until you feel buoyed up by this consciousness that we teach, by the classes. Take the classes. Be here on Sunday. Get buoyed up and build up that structure of love that is innately your divine birthright. The old racism, homophobic hate must fall away, and it will. And we will look back on this time as a healing with love. So I want to read from Ernest Holmes. You know, if you don't have the textbook, you can get one today or another book. Jenny will guide you on that. And here is the atmosphere of our thinking. This is from our founder, Ernest Holmes. We are all immersed in the atmosphere of our own thinking, which is the direct result of all we have ever said, thought, or done. This decides what it is to take place in our life. It's our thinking. Thought attracts what is like itself and repels what is unlike. We are drawn toward these things which we mentally image. most of the inner process of our thought, have been unconscious. But when we understand the law, we learn to consciously embody what we wish and think of this only. And then we are drawn silently toward it. The emphasis on true mental healing is instantly on God. The one mind, the one soul, the one being, ever present, ever available, and on everyone's ability and right to make ourselves receptive to this healing. You got to say, yeah, I'm receptive to heal this. Am I always loving? No. Do I listen to the news lovingly? I'm working on it. I'm working on it. And when I can't, I go to the book. I go to prayer. A realization of this essential divinity of our own nature and the truth that no evil can live in this presence. No evil, no wrongdoing can live in this presence. We must unify ourselves with the great whole. It says the man, but the people, the person who dares to fling their thought out into the universal intelligence with the assurance of one who realizes their own divine nature and its relationship to the universe and dares to claim all there is. Are you going to dare to claim all that is your divine birthright? We'll find an ever-creative good at hand that will aid you. So let's rise up today, and celebrate what we are birthing in this country. So I'm going to invite us to just close our eyes and take a breath. And I'm going to invite us each to rise up and allow yourself in your own magnificence to rise up above this building. See yourself just floating up out in the ceiling and above and look down on the roof. And now rise up a little bit higher. And as you rise up higher, look out and see the Auburn community. And see the beauty of our Auburn community and the foothills. And now rise up even higher than that and see the whole state of California. And rise up, take a deep breath, and rise up even higher still and see the whole United States. See it from that loving, peaceful place. And now rise even higher, higher still, and see the whole earth, how beautiful it is, the colors and the magnificence of this Mother Earth. And rise even higher out into the darkness of space, and see all the planets. And feel the freedom of seeing the planets and the moon that's lit up by the sun, the stars, zillions, zillions of stars, and see the perfection. See how perfect everything is. That everything is being held in the perfection of the whole universe. And you don't have to do anything to keep the planets moving in their orbits. They know what to do. There is something great at work here. And now go beyond this time and space 6 months out and see things changing for the better. See people reaching out and helping other people and being part of the solution, whatever that is. And now look go further still, 5 years, and look back at this time as a growing opportunity, not only for this country, but for the world. How this has been made a better place because we all cared. And feel what it feels like to be so lifted up in your own awareness that there's only one life and one power, and that life and power is God. And so gently, ever so gently, take a breath and just come slowly, slowly, slowly back into this room. And remember what it feels like to know that there's a greater truth unfolding and that love leads the way. So feel your bodies back in the chairs, back in the room. Move your feet. And so together, we recognize that there is only one power, and that power is very present. It is in and through all things seen and all things unseen. We each are the beloved place where God shows up, and we're willingly willing to see it, willing to be willing to see it, to know it first within ourselves, and then with everyone else in this world. And we're willing to say, when we can't see that, okay, God, love that through me. See that through me and teach me a greater way to love my brothers and sisters and to love myself. So I know and accept that where there is a need for a healing, this powerful, loving presence is right here, right now, in and through and for each one of us. And all we need to do is ask, and we do receive. So I just release this, my word, into that ever-living, loving law of God, that greater truth that is always present. And I just, in gratitude and thanksgiving, I let it be so. And if you would join me, please, in saying, and so it is. Amen.